Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What would you do if you moved to Alaska alone with no plan, no safety net, and winter closing in? In this incredible conversation, we explore Christina's Cache, a memoir of adventure and survival in Alaska by Christina Almas, a Finnish oceanographer who left everything behind to build a new life in one of the harshest environments on Earth. From driving a Volkswagen Bug across the frozen Alaska highway to living for 4 years in a 49-square-foot cabin she built herself, to conducting cutting-edge scientific research in extreme conditions, Christina's story is one of resilience, faith, and fearless independence. You'll also hear about surviving brutal Alaskan winters down to minus 50 degrees, strange encounters including UFO sightings. This is more than a memoir. It's a story of courage, adventure, and living life on your own terms. If you love stories of survival, exploration, and real-life adventure, this episode and book is for you. Pleased to welcome Christina Almas, author of Christina's Cache, a memoir of adventure and survival in Alaska. Christina, a pleasure to have you on the program. Tell us, to start things off, how you ended up from Finland to one of the harshest environments on Earth in Alaska. How did that journey take place?
Well, it didn't go directly. I originally got a scholarship to study at University of California. Eventually, I had a job in Seattle, and when things did not go well in Seattle, I moved back. Well, I did not know where I was moving, but I was sending letters asking for jobs, and Sweden is the only one who offered me a job. So that's why I went to Sweden. And working in Sweden, they only had money to fund me for 1 year. And one of my colleagues in Seattle had moved to Alaska, and one of his girls quit, and he offered me the job in Alaska when I was in Sweden. And he sent me a telegram, come within 3 days.
So there wasn't a whole lot of time to think about it. Do you have any idea what you were getting into going to Alaska? These are the early days, just a few years after statehood, and it really was wilderness out there. Did you have any idea what you were getting into, or so excited to have a job opportunity, you just went?
Well, when I went to the capital of Juneau, so the cash and Fairbanks came a couple of years later. So moving to Alaska, I actually rented an apartment, and then just had a so-called normal job.
It's interesting how the story unfolds. Our guest is Christina Almas. That's A-H-L-N-A-S. Her website is Christina's Cache, C-A-C-H-E. The book's available wherever books are sold. The link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So I understand you buy land there thinking that you're going to build a cabin, going to build something, and what, the cash would just sort of be sort of maybe for the summer, and by then you'll be able to move into the new house.
Well, this was a long time later. I first rented, half of a trailer. But when things got too bad there with the neighbors, and at the time they had started to build the oil pipeline and people were pouring in, and there was nothing available to rent. So at that time I saw a sign for land that was for sale. So I bought the land, bought a tent, and I planned to build a cabin, but I thought, let's just build a cache as a practice. And I thought I could do that quickly. But of course, I did not know that at first I had to clear the land and cut down some trees. So, you know, it took longer than I thought.
Yeah,
so meanwhile, I live in my tent until, winter is about approaching.
This is an amazing story, getting into this and survival and continuing to work and to thrive at what you did with the exploration. We'll be talking about that during the course of the conversation. Christina Allness is our guest on the program. The book is available wherever books are sold. The book is receiving rave reviews. It's a remarkable story of what Christina went through. Let's talk about this time as you were deciding to build the cache. Explain what a cache is, first of all, to people who may not have an understanding.
Okay, a cache is a place high up where you keep your food so that the wild animals would not get to it. But I decided I would put myself in a cache so the wild animals would not get to me. So I just built it, 8 by 8, small enough to do fast. And I had a 16-foot ladder. And it did not go as fast as I thought. So I am living in my tent until winter is approaching. So I am finishing my roof with a headlight because it's getting dark, and I got the roof just about finished when the snow fell.
It's just an amazing story. You're fighting the elements there in trying to get this done, a project that ended up taking much longer than originally anticipated. I want to talk about that 16-foot ladder. We see that on the cover of the book. Talk about that. That looks rather precarious. Were there ever times when you took a tumble off the ladder?
Well, you don't see the 16-foot ladder on the present cover. It was only on the original cover. So what you see on the present cover is my staircase that people did not really believe that I built myself. And then you see a rope ladder that goes up to the sky, but that rope ladder is just for looks because I am at the bottom of that in a crevasse on an ice field.
Talk about the building process. You said the Girl Scout training you had back in Finland came in handy. And I'm not talking about selling cookies. I'm talking about survival and pulling your life together and going through. Talk about your determination, because you never really sounded like you thought about giving up. You were there and you were going to make this work and you can find a solution. You're a researcher, a scientist, you can find a solution to just about everything. What was it like in the beginning there and finding people to come and help you to do this build?
Well, I had a friend and she was peeling my logs, which was very helpful. So I did not need to do that. And I used three-sided logs, the only one round side, because that was easier and faster to use than full logs. So my friend, she peeled all the logs. And then I had another friend who helped me on occasion if he got fed.
That's just amazing what everybody came through. You came through with this, but let's talk about the timeline. How long did it take for you to actually complete your building process and have the home you were looking for?
Well, it took me all summer to finish the cache. And then I had started on my build cabin, and it took 4 years before I could move from my cache to the lower part of the big cabin, while I still continued building the big cabin. So it took 18 years because the big cabin with the addition was actually done.
It's just amazing the persistence you had in seeing this through and getting it done. And some people would go, a 49 square foot living facility. How did you do that? How did you get your life in 49 square feet for the time you had to spend in the cash?
Well, first I decided that I am not going to have a normal door. I'm going to have my bed high up, and I'm going to enter under the bed. So that gave me some more space. And then I had a small wood-burning stove that kept me warm, and I could cook on top of that.
How did you survive winters there in Alaska? I mentioned before that it gets down to like 50 below zero. How did you, and it's a long winter there too as well. How did you survive that? Were there tense moments?
Well, I had a sleeping bed that was good to 40 below. And when the bag arrived, it was only 30 below, but I tried it out outside. And I was laying there turning because it was so cold from down below. And I realized that I can survive. And then someone told me that that the sleeping bag is not meant for comfort, it's meant to keep you alive.
Yes, for survival is why that is why they came up with that. Christina Allness, our guest on the program. Christina is KRSTINA, Allness, ALLNAS. Her website is ChristinasCache, CACHE.com. The book available wherever books are sold. The link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. During all of this, you're doing exploration work there, cutting-edge exploration. You're a scientist, a distinguished scientist as well, but funding was always an issue that you were battling there as well, I understand. How did you work through that? Because you've got all the living conditions that you're trying to deal with, and then you're worrying about how you're going to fund all of the projects that you're working on.
Well, David, different people who funded me. And then I got into remote sensing very early on when they launched an environmental satellite that took pictures of Alaska. And they did not know what to do with the pictures. So I was part of a team and we had 1 year to figure out what do we do with the pictures. And that was a most intriguing time.
Boy, it sounds like it. And you detail it in your book, Christina's Cache. I want to talk about, because now having women scientists, everybody accepts that. You were there at a time when it really wasn't acceptable. You what studied oceanography in college, you go on the oceanography boat and it's all men on there. You had to go on as a mess girl. I mean, you were always sort of fighting this. You're a woman in a field where we don't have a whole lot of women. What was that like in the beginning? Am I painting too bleak a picture or was it an uphill battle for you?
Well, studying oceanography, I was the only woman in the class and you know, we had to have 200 hours practice at sea. So I am the first one to ask the professor, but I asked too early. And the third time when I asked, it was too late. They had hired two men. So then the student job service, they only had waitress jobs. And I asked, don't you have, because I did not want to be a waitress. So I said, don't you have anything else? So they had a job that they felt was so bad that they didn't want to mention it. And that was mess girl. That is someone who washes dishes.
Yep, yes.
On the oceanography ship. And I thought, wow, how lucky can I be? I get to the oceanography ship anyway. So the working day was 10 hours, but on my spare time, Then I was permitted to do some analyze samples in the lab on board the ship.
So you were able to practice what you studied, and I came to the United States on a Fulbright scholarship. So Christina's got credentials in science and has been, again, at the cutting edge of many scientific explorations and discoveries during the course of her career. In Alaska, talk about the brutal weather there. I mentioned driving the Volkswagen, which was not winterized, across the highway. I mean, you do things differently living in Alaska. Did you ever, well, you were there 50 years, I guess. Were you ever comfortable there adapting to what the climate was in Alaska?
Oh yeah, it's similar to Finland, but in Finland they had public transportation. And here I did not understand that a Volkswagen was the wrong kind of car. You needed a car that you could heat. So the Volkswagen, I had a battery blanket, and I had a hot plate under the my battery, and that's how I got the. And then you would plug in the car. So that what can be heated will be heated.
Just an amazing story, a story of independence. And I want to go back and talk about growing up in Finland. Where did this streak of independence come from? I mean, you were not relying on a whole lot of people. You relied on yourself and your skills and your intelligence to get you through. Where did the sense of independence come from? Was that something from an early age that I'm Christina and I can take care of this myself?
Well, maybe because I was in the Girl Scouts, and I was a patrol leader, and there were big competitions, and through those competitions, I learned that you needed to take initiative, and you have to have ideas because that gives you a point to win the game.
Yes. It's interesting when you read in the book how much you decided that you really like Alaska and you took advantage there. You did tours, you did hiking, you did canoeing. What was that like, being close to nature? You see beautiful, I've never been to Alaska. You see all of these beautiful pictures of the environment there. What was that like being able to go out and have the time to really enjoy and take it all in?
Well, I really enjoyed going on maybe a canoeing tour where you would maybe I was 3 weeks on the canoeing tour, so you would canoe down a river and you would go ashore and do some hiking and then we ended up at some sand dunes I really wanted to see, and then we flew over to the ocean. And we continued paddling there and hiking.
I
So
meant,
that's I really enjoy that.
yes, and you bring it to life. We can actually sort of, the way you're describing it, see it as you're talking about it in the book, Christina's Cache. That's Cache, book available wherever books are sold. I mentioned strange encounters, including some UFO sightings. Let's start with the last thing there. Let's go with the UFO sightings. Did you see things that you really didn't know exactly what you were seeing?
Well, in the winter, and my Volkswagen, I decided it was easier to ski to work because I had so much trouble with the car. So then one winter day after work, it's already dark, but not perfectly dark. So I'm skiing home through the forest, and then I see a red star four. Well, that was weird. And then I see something like a big greenish cloud that is coming down.
Yes.
I didn't believe I saw anything, but then it's repeated 3 times, and by that time I get really concerned. I mean, what is it? Will it land? Will it land? So then it's getting pretty dark by that time, but and so I am skiing home as fast as I can, and then I close my door very well and turn on the radio, but radio doesn't mention anything.
Interesting that you see that. Interesting that you decide to take the skis to work. Most people don't have that option when they're going to the work, and maybe public transit or a car or commuting, going with a friend. But hop on the skis to go into work. Were there times early on, especially there, that you really had some doubt if you really thought, is this for me? Am I in the right place, or should I find a job somewhere else? Did you ever have any doubt that you belonged in Alaska?
No, I definitely I like the place where I was, and I like the jobs I had because of insecure funding. I was on the cutting end of new things because that's where the jobs were.
You talk about the culture there and the people there, and the people there helped you and helped you build the house, the cash and the house. Talk about Alaska sourdoughs. Explain what a sourdough is in Alaska. I lo love this.
Well, people say that a sourdough is someone who has no money to leave and is sour enough to stay in Alaska.
This book started, as I understand, what you were sending some stories from Alaska back to a newspaper in Finland, and out of that came this book, the English edition of the book, Christina's Cash. Is that how that started? You were just telling your story and sending it back to a newspaper, and all of a sudden this book came about.
So when I was in Douglas, I ended because and I lost my job was gone, and I ended up volunteering on the Juneau ice field, and things happened there. So I thought that was a good story, so I sent that to a newspaper in Finland, and they would not normally publish things by people they did not know, but my story was so unusual, so they introduced me to the public, and then after that I could send them more stories, and then with all those stories, well, then next and I knew people read them, so then next step was to publish a book in Finland. So I wrote it in Swedish first for Finland, and then moving to here, I rewrote it in English.
And the book is receiving rave reviews. What response are you getting? People are enjoying the adventure. They're enjoying your personality, the fact that there's nothing you can't do. Given enough time, you're able to get out and to do things. What kind of response are you getting to the book, Christina's Cash?
Well, it has got two awards which are on the present cover, and one is US Review of Books Recommended, and the other is a notable book. So both of those rewards are on the book.
And receiving excellent reviews from the professional reviewers and from the people who have read the book and really enjoyed them. Yes, the book is available wherever books are sold. Christina holding up a cover of the new book, and it's available at get all the information at Christina's website, christinascash.com. Cash is CACHE.com. What is life like for you now? You're living in the mainland, down in the main states, down in South Carolina. What's it like adjusting to like a normal life down here, where you couldn't ski to work if you wanted to?
Well, I can still have a garden here, and I like that. And here, you know, I enjoy all the trees that start to bloom, you know, when spring is coming.
Oh, yes, the change in scenery. How long, you got a couple minutes left here. How long is winter in Alaska? I get the impression it's long, it's cold, it's brutal. Is that accurate?
It depends on where you are. If you are in Douglas Dune, or where I started out, you know, it took a while because it rained a lot, but there were mountains and they got snow, and you had a downhill ski area there. But in Fairbanks, frost may come in August, and the snow may be a few months later. And right now, Fairbanks has about 7 feet of snow, which is very unusual, and they have a colder winter than normal also.
Wow,
So
it's.
yes, I am happy I'm not there anymore, because it's a physically demanding life.
I would, yeah, it's what you're describing, just trying to get out of bed and out of your house and get to work every day. And then you've got all the elements that you're fighting. Would you do it again if you knew what you were getting into and you got the offer, you got 3 days, come up here, I got a job for you. Would you do it again if you knew what you were getting into?
Well, I really have had a very interesting and rewarding life doing what I did, and I enjoyed it.
And it makes a great story. The book is Christina's Cache, Cache. Her website is christinascache.com. Book available wherever books are sold. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Christina Olness, if you're Googling, she is the guest on the program today. Kristina. And Olness is Alhnas. Christina, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Are you going to write any more? You do an excellent job of taking what you went through and bringing it to life so all of us, we feel like we're sort of there with you. We're not quite as cold as you were most of the time, but we feel like we're there with you. Any other writing that you plan on doing?
Well, not presently.
Just sit back and enjoy this because people are really reading the book and enjoying the book. It's available wherever books are sold. I'd like to thank Olympus Storyhouse, unleashing the power of your stories to achieve the recognition they deserve. My thanks to them. Their website is olympusstoryhouse.com. Christina, again, our thanks for being with us on the program. The book is christinascache.com. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
It has been a pleasure. It's a remarkable story. It's a story that has adventure. It's got survival. It's got all of the elements there. And it really gives you an inside look at Alaska and what Alaska was like during the boom years, the early years of the of all the activity up there with the oil and all the exploration that was going on. Again, our website, christinascache.com. You'll find it on our website as well, the direct link, thisweekinamerica.us. And go to YouTube, and you'll see the video version of this, and sign up there to subscribe when you're there. You're listening to This Week in America. More after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.